tonight, as we said, Leilei Nishmas, Shofar Rivka Bas Achan Yitzchak, should be Aliyah L'Nishmasa. But also, you know, there was a terror attack in Eretz Yisrael yesterday. 19-year-old soldier from Beersheva, Gal Kedan, was killed, and he was remembered as a very artistic young man, a very musical young man, very sensitive soul. And a 47-year-old father of 12, Rav Achiad Ettinger, who lived in Ariel, who actually opened the yeshiva in southern Tel Aviv, who very much believed in reaching out and bringing Torah to the Jews wherever they were. And he was really seemed to have been a remarkable person, just reading some of the Hespedim, some of the things that were said about him. And he actually risked his life, drove towards the mechabel to shoot at him. And they say that he prevented this mechabel, this terrorist, from probably going in towards Ariel, towards the settlement, and probably prevented a much greater tragedy. So, unfortunately, the week of Purim, hate has not ended. We have our modern-day Hamans across the globe, as we mentioned on Shabbos, and our learning should be La'aliyas Nishmasam as well. We know that the Megillah, you just know before we start getting to like understanding the Megillah, understanding some Midrashim on the Megillah, Al Pi Kabbalah, when the Megillah starts to be read, that's when incredible energies and Shefa, divine blessing, comes into the world. We know that Purim was a time of great Hester Panim, a time of great divine concealment. And actually, you know, Kabbalistically, we're not going to get into it, but God's name wasn't whole. There were letters that were separated in God's name. And Mordechai and Esther were actually the vehicles of bringing in divine blessing, like cutting out a lot of the preordained structures for how Shefa, how divine energy is supposed to come into this world. And Tzadikim taught us that every year, when you start reading Megillas Esther, every year when you say Amen to the brachas on the Megillah, it opens up the same incredible spiritual opportunities. And that's why it's seen as a day of incredible tefillah and so many connections to Yom Kippur, right? One connection that I don't see people talking about so much, it's interesting that Yom Kippur is a day of fasting and it's preceded by a day of eating and drinking. And Purim is a day of eating and drinking, and it's preceded by a day of fasting. Talk about v'nahafachu, talk about just switching things around a little bit. In many ways, they're mirror images, as we spoke about it on Shabbos morning. But we know that the Megillah begins, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh, still talking about this Persian king. And the second pasuk tells us, Bayamim ha'hem kesheves ha'melech ha'chashveros al kisei malchuso asher b'shushan habira. And it was in those days that the king Achashverosh was sitting al kisei malchuso on the chair of his kingdom, on his throne, that was in Shushan habira, Shushan, the capital city. So the Medrash says, Rav Ivo, and the Medrash asks, the pasuk says, ki lashem ha'melucha mosha b'goyim, that Malucha, royalty belongs to God. So, Moshal Bagayim. And God, you know, has dominion over all of the nations of the world. But yet over here it says, Kisei Malchuso, that Achashverosh has a chair of his Malchus. There's only one that you could refer to, his Malchus. That's a capital H. It's Tahashem. So, the question Rav Schwab says is, what's he really bothered by? You know, technically, it should have said, Kisheves HaMelech HaChashverosh al Kiso. You refer to him as Melech HaChashverosh, just say Kiso, his throne. Why do you have to say Kisei Malchuso, the chair of his royalty? It's a strange way of expressing the idea. And that's exactly what Rav Ivo's trying to focus us in on, that really whenever we talk about Malchus Stam, you know, Malchus without a qualifying term, talking about is Malchus, Kilashem Hamlucha. Malchus, all royalty, all that power belongs to Hashem. So he answers, the answer to the question is that in the past there was Malchus by the Jewish people. But when they sinned, it was taken from them and was given to the nations of the world. And that's what it means. Al kisei malchuso. Who is malchus? Who are we talking about? Malchuso, his malchus? It means malchus shamayim. That's what the Medrash is telling us. Just like Stam Melech, whenever it says Melech Stam, it talks about whom the Gemara in Megillah tells us. The Gemara in Megillah says, the beginning of the Pasuk said, HaMelech HaChashverosh, right? But whenever we find just Melech without the qualifying pronoun of Achashverosh, proper noun, not a pronoun, excuse me, proper noun, right? So who are we talking about? We're talking about the Melech Malchei Melochim, the only one that you can refer to as the king, especially since Elvis is dead, right? And LeBron, I don't know if he's such a king anymore, right? But Lemaisa, the idea here of Malchuso, we're really talking about whose Malchus we're talking about? That he was sitting on the throne of Hashem's Malchus. And that's what the Medrash is saying. What does it mean that originally there was Malchus by the Jewish people? What Rav Ivo is teaching us, Ki Lashem Hamlucha, means that the concept of Malchus by the Jewish people was really that the Melech was Mashiach Hashem, the anointed by God. We know, as we've been learning in Sefer Shmuel, and now as we're beginning learning Sefer Melachim on Shabbos afternoon, that the king was really seen as, you know, divinely infused with his power, meaning that's where it came from. And that's why we just learned this past week, one of the most important people that the king has to have in his cabinet is whom?
The Navi.
Is a Navi, is a prophet. That's when the beginning of Malachim, we see Adoniyahu trying to just take over the throne. His father David is out of it, is in the castle, in his palace. He's not really out with the people. Adoniyahu tries to usurp the throne. He has a Kohen with him. He has a general with him. The one person he doesn't have with him is a Navi. And that's when David and Shlomo are able to pull back in that way, because that was the glaring omission. And that's, in fact, what the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim says, Vayashav Shlomo al Kisei Hashem. The Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim says that Shlomo sat on the throne of God, meaning that's how we saw the Melech. And that's why there's such special halachos about a Melech and special rules for a king. And what it means is, according to Rav Schwab, this Medrash is teaching us that when the Jewish people sinned, Hashem took away his malchus from the Jewish people, and he gave that malchus to the kings of the nations of the world. He took that malchus away from the Jewish people, and he gave it to an Achashverosh. When we say Achashverosh is sitting al kisei malchuso, we're really talking about malchus shamayim. And he says that this helps us understand some gemaras, that you wonder what the gemara is talking about. The gemara says that Esther, in fact, was punished to a degree because she referred to Achashverosh as a dog. There is a certain text in Tehillim, Perek Chaf Beis, is attributed to Esther, Hamalka Ayelet HaShachar. So it's attributed that she referred to Achashverosh as a dog. So, okay, why is that bad? You know why that's bad? Why?
He's the throne of,
right,
God.
Right, exactly. Meaning you have to understand that Hashem has imbued Achashverosh with certain power. And that's why it's interesting, there's a debate between Rav and Shmuel about certain things that Achashverosh did. Imelech pikeach haya or melech tipish haya? Was he very wise and cunning and clever? Or was he an imbecile? Was he an idiot? Right? No, it wasn't a political debate between Rav and Shmuel. Right? What were they talking about? In the time these specific enactments happened, was he acting, was Hashem Mamash just pulling the strings? Or was Achashverosh acting with his own bechira, his own free choice, and he was doing stupid things? And that's really what Rav Schwab says so often. We have to understand that when things happen, when you have people of great power, of the Umos HaOlam, you have to understand that it's Kisei Malchuso, that what Achashverosh was doing, understand this was coming from Hashem. And this is something that relates to two other ideas that he talks about. When you talk about the way people relate to political figures and people's faith in political figures or concern about political figures, so I'll point out two things. First, it's in Perek Dalet. This is the back and forth when Esther tells Mordechai to gather together all the Jews, 1256, Perek Dalet. Right? And she tells them, Pasuk Tezayin, Lech Kinos Eskol HaYehudim HaNimtzim B'Shushan V'Tzumu Alai, and fast on my behalf. So what does that mean, fast for me? What does that mean, fast for me? So the Pashut Pshat is that we're going to get to the back and forth between Mordechai and Esther. But the back and forth is that Esther now is accepted upon herself that what is she going to do? She's going to go to the king without being called. If you go to the king without being called, what potentially could happen to her? She could be killed on the spot. She could be executed on the spot before she has a chance to say boo to Ahasuerus. She could be killed. And Vitzumu Alai means Esther's asking the people to fast on her behalf. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Praise for protection.
To pray for her. Exactly. To pray for her, to fast, that she should be successful. So Rav Shua, based upon the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Tezvava Medbeis, the Gemara says, it's a whole debate, did the Jews know that Esther was Jewish? Did they not know Esther was Jewish? So there's one opinion that many of the Jews knew who Esther was. They knew she was Jewish. And you know why Esther said Vitzumu Alai? She felt that her very presence misled the Jews. Because what did they say? Shahayu Ayehudim Omrim Achos Yesh Lanu Beveis HaMelech. We got a sister in the palace. She's going to take care of us. It doesn't matter, right? We have all these inns in the White House. We have all these inns in Parliament. We have all these inns. We don't have to worry about things, right? Esther's saying, Vitzumu Alai. Fast for me, fast as a kapara, as an atonement, because you think that I have your back and I'm going to take care of everything. You have to fast over that matter. Because you have to understand that really, where does your bitachon, where does your faith and trust have to be placed? Not in me. Not in basar v'dam, a human being of flesh and blood. You have to place your faith in the Ribono Shel Olam. Right? And that's how we have to see how events unfold. As Jews, that's what the Megillah is all about. The whole lesson of the Megillah is all about what? Is all about recognizing that Hashem is behind everything. Hashem is in control. Rav Mael Biederman, what a great Hasidish Mashpia. There are videos that are sent every day via WhatsApp. It's in Yiddish, but with English subtitles. So yeah, it's a famous vart, but it's a cute joke. Why is there a mitzvah to drink on Purim? Why is there a mitzvah to drink on Purim? Chai v'nish l'besum y'bepur y'adeloi. Why are you supposed to drink on Purim? Because we know when you drink, what can't you do? You can't drive. And what's the message on Purim? You think you're driving the car. You think you're in control, Habibi. You're not driving anything. Who's the Nahag? There's only one Nahag. That's the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's what some tzaddikim say. You know, that's the cute joke. But the way that tzaddikim say it is because who's the most helpless person? You ever see a person who's mamish? You know, I hope you've never seen a person who's mamish, like just totally drunk. When I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, again, the yeshiva I went to, it's not known for its drunkards. Do you know, I mamish stayed up the whole Purim night with my roommate making sure he didn't choke on his vomit and throwing him into cold showers every couple of hours. Mamish, that's what I spent my whole Purim night. I daven masik in Purim morning, not because I'm a holy person. I was up the whole night taking care of drunks. You know, when a person is drunk, I still remember a certain Talmud of mine who does not live in the community, don't worry, but a certain Talmud of mine actually lives in Florida now. When he was so drunk in my Purim suit, they're like, I didn't even realize Sarah thought it was such a fun thing. She would just start stomping on his head against the floor. She was like, listen to the sound it makes when I step on someone's head. And he's like, boom. And these are hard Israeli floors. She's a little girl. She's like, she thinks he's like a joke. And like, guys like cracking up, you know, like a little 3-year-old girl can beat up a strapping, strong 19-year-old young man. When they're drunk, you're helpless, right? So this is Esther saying, Vitzumu Alai, fast on my behalf, because what? You think I'm in control? You think Achos Yesh Lanu Beveis HaMelech? We have a sister in the king's house that she's going to take care of everything for us? Shtuyot. And that's a message that we have to walk away with from Purim. That we can't see ourselves as in control. We have to understand that it's all Biyad HaMelech. And this also explains a very strange Gemara. The Gemara doesn't seem to make sense when you read the Psukim, because we know there's a back and forth, right? There's a whole back and forth between Esther, right here on the top of the page. It starts in Pasuk Hey. Esther is told that Mordechai is wearing sackcloth, sends him something to change into or refuse. Esther calls Hasach. Some say Hasach was Daniel. It was actually Daniel. Others say he was just a person of great prominence in the king's palace, a high servant, right? She says to tell what's going on. Vayetze Hasach al Mordechai. Mordechai tells him. Tells everything that happened, what Haman did, right? That Haman's going to wipe them out. Tells him about the Pashegen Haksav Hadas, the royal edict that was sent out of what's going to happen to the Jews come the 13th of Adar in a year from now. Because again, don't forget, this story happens in what month? Nisan. This happens in the month of Nisan. This whole story with Esther and, you know, the parties, right? That's why some people have a minag, second day of Pesach. They call their Pesach Sudas Esther, because that's when she had the party. It was the second day of Pesach, right? And that's when she had the party with Haman, and it all came unraveled. So the Hasach comes and tells Esther everything Mordechai said, meaning Esther didn't know. Isn't that wild? And again, this fits in with a lot of what we mentioned on Shabbos about Achashverosh being really secluded. Esther, likewise, she was secluded. She didn't know what was going on. She didn't know there was a decree against the Jews. She had no idea, right? And the Vatomer Esther la'asach v'tzaveu el Mordechai, kol avdi ha'melech, meaning Mordechai says to Esther, you got to go. And Esther tells the Sach to go to Hasach to go tell Mordechai, Pasuk Yud Aleph, you can't just walk into the king. I haven't been called in 30 days. I can't go into the king. And Pasuk Yud Beis, how does Pasuk Yud Beis start? You see, it says, Vayagidu leMordechai is Divrei Esther. One second. Up until now, who's been going back and forth? Hasach. Hasach is one person. Again, Daniel, not Daniel, some royal servant, whoever it is, this one guy going back and forth. Now all of a sudden, Vayagidu leMordechai, they told Mordechai, what's going on? Right? So the Gemara Megillah says, from here we see, Ein Meshivin al Kalkala. That when you have bad news, when you have really bad thing to report, you don't do it. You get someone else to report it. You don't report it directly. Never be the bearer of bad news. Right? That's the rule. So Asach gets out of it, gets underling servants, go tell Mordechai what Esther said, right? But what's the question on this pshat? What did the Asach bring? What news did he relay to Esther?
Terrible news.
Terrible news, exactly, Michelle. The Asach brought Esther the news of what? Of the impending decree against the Jewish people. So what does the Gemara say? Mikan, from here we learn. She'ein mishivin kalkala. Don't be the bearer of bad news. What? What about the first time? When he brought Mordechai's report to Esther with horrific news. You want to hear what Schwab says? It's so beautiful. It's so strong. It's so chazak. Like only a Yaki could say it. I'm joking. It's a joke. But it's chazak. Chazak. Right? He says, you know what we see from here? The report about what was going to happen to the Jews? That wasn't the bad news. That wasn't. That wasn't. Kalkala is not only bad, it's like a kilkula klala, like cursed news, right? Like cursed news, right? That's not cursed news, because you know what? Okay, this is the Greek and the Jews. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do tshuva. We're going to daven tashem. You know what the cursed news is? You know what the horrific Kalkala crooked news is? You know what the crooked news is? That Esther says, I'm not going to do anything about it. That's the bad news. That's why the Sach won't go back to Mordechai. And that's why Mordechai responds right after that. What does he tell Esther? Very harsh. Vayomer Mordechai Lashiv El Esther Al Tadami Ben Avsheich Lihimaleit Beis HaMelech Mikol HaYudim. Don't think that you're going to save yourself by being in the palace from the death, the fate of all the Jews. Ki macharesh tacharishi ba'es hazos revach v'atzola yamud la'yehudim mimakom acher. Meaning the news I sent you about this decree, there's going to be revach v'atzola la'yehudim. There's going to be salvation. There is going to be a turnaround. And it'll come from somewhere else. But v'atu beis avich tovedu. But you and all of the ancestors that you represent, you're going to be wiped out. You're going to be lost. Meaning Mordechai's answer to Mamash fits in exactly with what Rav Schwab is saying. You see what Rav Schwab is saying? It's an unbelievable idea. It's such a powerful idea. The bad news is not about a decree against all of the Jewish people. The bad news is that Esther's saying, I'm not going to do anything about it because I can't. Mordechai says, you have to readjust here. You have to realign your perspective, how you're viewing these things. And this, again, is just another example in the Megillah of understanding that the Ribbono Shel Olam is behind everything. That everything that happens, we have to see. This is why Purim, of course, is the lead up to Pesach, right? That's why you have to have Lismach Geula LeGeula, to put the two Geulas next to each other, one to another. You know, I mentioned it at the Shalom Zachar, at the Rai Shalom Zachar Friday night, but Rav Pinchas Friedman has such a beautiful, important teaching also based upon the whole message of Purim, that the whole message of Purim, the Gemara tells us, we said Perek Chav Beis of Tilim is the Perek of Esther, right? And how does that start? We said, L'manatzeach al Ayeles HaShachar. Ayeles HaShachar is the breaking of the dawn, right? So the Gemara says, why is Esther known as Ayelet HaShachar, the breaking of the dawn? Just like the dawn is the end of the night, so too Esther is the end of all miracles. That's what the Gemara says. Why doesn't that fit? Why is that not parallel?
Right, you meaning, think it would be the dusk or something. Not the
right.
Dawn.
Meaning the end of all miracles? That's good? I don't understand. Meaning the dawn is the end of the night. Night, bad, confusion, darkness, right? When we need faith, when we can't go on anything else, right? When we don't talk about chesed, night is a time of darkness, time of hester, and dawn, Baruch Hashem, then we can see things. Then it's like chesed, right? That's when the whole world comes to life once again. So Esther is the end of miracles, so she's the dawn? Opposite. Opposite. What do you mean? If we're saying that there were no more big miracles, Esther should be what? Esther should be nightfall. Esther should be Shkia Sachama, sunset. No more miracles. So then Pinchas Friedman says, he says that why does Hashem have to bring big miracles? What's the purpose of big miracles? Why does Hashem have to bring big miracles in Egypt? Because you know,
proving he's the God.
Because where were the Jews at the time?
In slavery.
And spiritually, we're told,
they were
in the lowest level. They were in the 49th level of Tumah. Why does Hashem have to do big miracles? Because you're so low. You're incapable of seeing God any other way except with these massive miracles. And you know what happens right after the big miracles? What happens right after the big miracles? What normally happens after the big miracles? Like they call a mic drop, you know, boom. Right? After Kriyas Yamsuf, what happens after the splitting of the sea? The greatest revelation ever. What happened after splitting of the sea? The people... forget Egel Azav, Rachel. They come to Mara. They can't drink the water. Ki Marim Heim, because it's bitter. What's bitter? The Baal Shem HaKadosh says, not the water wasn't bitter. You know it was bitter? The people were bitter. The people were bitter after Kriyas Yamsuf. And after Kabbalah's HaTorah? Now, what's after Kabbalah's HaTorah? The Egel! After these massive, massive miracles, you had tremendous drop-offs. Rav Pinchas says, because when you have the big miracles, you're looking only for the big miracles. Without the big miracles, then what do you have? You're in darkness, there's nothing. Comes Esther. What is Esther teaching the Jews? What's Esther teaching all of us every year? What?
See
the light where, Sherry?
It's dark.
Exactly. See the light all the time. That's why it's the end of the night. Esther teaches us. You have to be able to see Hashem everywhere. Megillas Esther, again, what does it mean? Megillah Esther, it means reveal that which is hidden. We've spoken about that so many times, right, Cheryl? That's in the notes, at least. By the way, at Shabbos, some people were saying they really got to get your notebook. We really have to. Someone wants to publish my sefer. I said, Rebbe, how do you not write down your drushes? I said, all my parsha shiurim are written down. Ask Cheryl. That's where you're starting on my sefer. He said, okay. So we got to work on this. So, but they understand such an important idea. That's what Pinchas says. That's what the Gemara means. That just like the dawn is the end of night, Esther is the end of miracles. Because miracles blind us. Miracles create this yearning to see things so clear that we don't know what it is to go about a regular day. By the way, don't forget that explanation why the Chet HaMeraglim happened according to Kabbalah. Why did the sin of the spies happen? The spies were very, very great people. These were spiritual giants, the spies. And they come back from the land just ripping it. Why were they ripping the land so badly?
They're scared.
Because what did they have in the desert? They had
everything.
A pillar of cloud by day, fire by night, Moshe Rabbeinu talking to God, coming out, teaching them Torah. They had the mon coming down. They had water flowing out of a rock. Like, wait, go into land where we have to work? Where we have to plow? Where we have to worry about rainfall and the rain level in the Kinneret, which Baruch Hashem is like unbelievable. Hasn't been this way for like a decade. Chasdei Hashem. You know, it's like Israel's the only land. When I ask my son, how's the weather? He goes, it's been raining. Awesome, awesome, Abba. I'm like, right, okay, you're in Israel, right? Jersey, you're raining. Oh, it's miserable, disgusting. Baruch Hashem, it's been pouring for days. Like Baruch Hashem, you know? That's the only place we say it. They didn't want to go into the land. They were spoiled by the miracles they were having every day. It was darkness for them. They didn't understand what this world was. They were living Olam Haba, but it's not Olam Haza. That's not this world. And that's what Esther's teaching us. That's why Tzumu Alai, Rav Schwab says, fast for me means fast because I'm afraid that my very presence in the palace has led you to lose trust in God, and I don't want to falter my mission because you're placing me as what? As almost this idol, this false god. You're putting your hopes in me. You're making me into this powerful being. I have no power. Tzumu alai, fast that I should be successful. I need your tefillas. Fast for everything that I represented. So this again relates to the whole idea of the Kisei Malchuso. Again, in the beginning of the Megillah, you have to see Kisei Malchuso, that Achashverosh is sitting on the throne of his Malchus. Whose Malchus? Hashem's Malchus. That's how we have to view the whole story happening. There are a number of other ideas, beautiful ideas, but I apologize, I'm going to have to end a little bit early tonight. But we'll end with one beautiful idea. And the most famous pasuk in the Megillah that we spoke about on Shabbos. What's the most famous pasuk in the Megillah? At least, thank you, Cheryl. Okay, you remember from the okay. That's great. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure, Sheila. All right. La Yehuda Maisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasan V'Kar. And Rav Schwab asks a very, very obvious, famous question. The Shabbos. Let's see how good Cheryl you're paying attention. No, I'm joking. Not going to put you on the spot. But I presented it. I made, in Yeshiva, they taught us whenever you're learning something, you have to first uncover the hanachos. You have to first uncover the assumptions. And I presented something on Shabbos in the Drasha that you could challenge. It's not clear at all. There are those that say it. And that's why I presented it this way. But Rav Schwab challenges it, and he thinks it's not correct the way I presented it on Shabbos. La Yehuda Maisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasan V'Kar. The Gemara Tezayin on Beis says Amar Biuda Ora Zutora. Light is Torah. The pasuk says Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Or Simcha Zayantif. V'Chein Hu Omer V'Samachta B'Chagecha Sasan Zumila. It's Brismila. As David HaMelech says Sasan Ochi Al Masecha. That I am overjoyed over your directives, that tradition teaches us was Bris Mila Vikar, the glory, that is Tefillin. As the Pasuk says, what's the proof? V'ro kal ha-me'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra elecha v'yaru mimecha. Yikar, the glory, is something that people can't even perceive, can't even look at. And that's the idea that when the Jews were wearing Tefillin, going out into battle, the nations, the world, the enemy would see it and run away. So Rav Schwab says, I don't understand. Where do we ever find that Haman made any decrees against Jews being able to do these things? I presented on Shabbos that there was a decree. Oh, were you wondering that on Shabbos? You were in for the drasha?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Baruch Hashem. I apologize. I apologize. I won't tell you who that was.
No, it's okay, because when I walk into Shul, Leah's like, Zachor,
I know, Ariella brings a kid, what do you mean? Right, so I apologize, a bracha should be gebenched and all, only nachas. Rav Schwab says, where do we see it? There are those that present it, from this we know that there were decrees against Jews doing these things. Rav Schwab says, where do we see there were decrees? Where do we see it? Do we have any evidence anywhere that there were edicts against the Jews learning Torah, doing Bris Mila, wearing tefillin, or keeping Yontif? So if Schwab says, this you don't expect from a Yaki. This sounds like a Hasidish Torah. Rav Schwab has everything. Rav Schwab has everything. Baruch Hashem. He says that what you have to explain is that when they were observing these mitzvahs under Shilton, under the rule of Achashverosh, under the rule of Haman, he said they would learn Torah but didn't have light to it. He said they had Yantif, but there was no simcha to the Yantif. They did Mila, but they weren't overjoyed when they did the Mila. And they had tefillin, but there was no yikar, there was no beauty, there was no splendor to their tefillin. And he says, and it was after the salvation, that's when their Torah once again had light. That's when the Yom Tovim once again had simcha. That's when the Brisin once again had joyous, joyous emotion of sasan. And that's when the tefillin once again reclaimed their glory, reclaimed their yikar. And the question is, why? What does that mean? Why? So that he leaves it as such, but I think it's related to a different pshat, he says. He says that there's a gemara, and this we really have to end, there's a gemara that we've mentioned this gemara many, many times. It's one of the more famous gemaras in the Gemara Megillah, that the students ask Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, asked his students, meaning they asked him, why did this happen to those Jews? And he said, you tell me. So they said, maybe it's because they went to Achashverosh Suda. And he doesn't like that pshat for whatever reason. And he says he thinks it was a different reason, because they bowed down to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar set up. So what's going on? Why are these the two sins? And Rav Schwab suggests that really these were the two sins that destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. Avodah Zarah, as we find, he says, throughout all of Malachim, unfortunately, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Treyah, is constantly screaming against Avodah Zarah. It's hard for us to even relate to it, and we've discussed that many times before also. What happened to that? Where is that urge for Avodah Zarah? Is it moved into other things? Was part of it removed? Spiritual poison of Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was removed. But he says one thing that brought down Bais Rishon was Avodah Zarah. And what was the other thing? Yechezkel tells us when the Jews said, Ni'eh kagoyim kemishpachos ha'arotzos. We want to be like the nations of the world, like all of the families of the land. And about this, Hashem says, Hayalosi, Chai Aninu Um Hashem Elokim, Im Lo Biyad Chazak of Zerah Netuyo V'Chema Shefucha Em Lo Chaleichem. Yechezkel warns us. He says, your desire to be like all the other nations of the world is going to be your downfall. And Rav Schwab says that this is the two reasons that the Gemara tells us. One, that Rashbi himself said it was because of Avodah Zarah. They worshipped idols. And two, so that's why they were Chai of Misa. And two, they went to the party. Going to the party shows what? That what did they want to do? They wanted to go party with everyone else. They wanted to just go party with everyone else. And so that's what Rashbi is saying. And Rav Schwab suggests that to go back to build a second Beis HaMikdash, what do you first have to do? You first have to fix what destroyed the first. You first have to fix the Avodah Zarah. You first have to fix This yearning to forget about the uniqueness of what it means to be a Jew and our responsibility and the tremendous, tremendous blessing of what it means to be a Jew. We want to bring blessing to all the nations of the world. We don't want to be like all the nations of the world. We understand that we have something unique. And so Rav Schwab is saying that that's what Rashbi was teaching his Talmidim, that these were the two things that needed to be fixed before they could go back for Bayis Sheni. And so too, when you think about this lesson of the Megillah from Rav Schwab, of course we know that we're waiting for another breaking of the dawn. We're waiting for another miracle. We know it's interesting that Purim won't be batel.
Opposite of what we're talking about.
That what?
Waiting for another miracle, because then there's a downfall.
Well, no. Ah, so that's good, it's good. So you should know what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the miracles of Mashiach's time are going to be qualitatively and quantitatively different than anything else. That relates to Chassam Sofer we learned about. You know, I found notes literally 10 years ago from Purim Shir 10 years ago about Chassam Sofer, what it means that all the other Yamim Tovim are going to be Batel, but not Purim. Why? Okay, so think about, okay, what you said is that Chassam Sofer, Sherry. So I don't have time to, I apologize after him, but think about that. Okay, no. So go to Cheryl's notes from 10 years ago, and you'll have the answer. You don't have notes from 10 years ago. Okay. That's a shame. But it should be a Freilich and Purim. It should be a Purim that we get to celebrate 2 days. Hashem should bless us. Mashiach should come. We'll be able to celebrate 2 days of Purim. Right? That's one of the big benefits of living in Israel. You get 2 days of Purim, as long as you go to Yerushalayim or somewhere.